We're holding on them kiss, and with Aleph, the top line. Continuing on the topic of the Kibseh Atzeres, the two sheep that are brought as the Shalmei Tzibur together with the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos, Tony Rav Abachana Kameh de Rav, Rav Abachana taught a braisa in front of Rav, Kibseh Atzeres Sheshochtan Lashum Eivin. If he shechted these Kibseh Atzeres, having in mind, saying or thinking, as the case may be, as we've learned before, whether Machshavos and Kavanos means speaking or thinking, having in mind that they're the rams. Now, there are rams that are brought on Shavuos as well. We learned previously that when it comes to the Kavanos, when the Kavanos that come with the Shtei Alechem, you have one, besides for the Shalmei Tzibur, you have a bunch of Olus that are brought, one par, two Elim, and seven Kvasim. So now he shechted these Kibseh Atzeres, having in mind that they are the rams that are supposed to be brought on Shavuos, which are Olus. So then Kshedin, they are kosher, but they don't count for the owner's obligation, as usual when you have, as usual when you change the designation of carbon, of a carbon from one thing to the other. We learned yesterday, we discussed yesterday the machlokas of Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Nachman based on different braises, whether if he shechts these kibseh atzeres shaloi l'shman, are they complete, if he shechts them shaloi k'mitzvosan, not according to their mitzvah, and we said we had a machlokas whether they were kosher or posel, whether they're kosher, just not yotze, or posel. And in addition, we had a machlokas rishonim. We had between Rashi and most of the other rishonim what do we mean by shaloi k'mitzvosan, whether it meant that they were shaloi l'shma, whether it meant that they were other, that they were the wrong age or whatever. So then that would also relate to this over here. If we say that the machlokas over there was if we said the machlokas over there was shaloi l'shma, then this braisa that Rav Abachana is teaching would necessarily have to be like the second opinion, like Levi's braisa. If we say that the issue over there was that the actual animals were the wrong age, then our braisa could be going according to everybody. Anyway, so that was the braisa. Rav says no. You don't say they're kosher, but you're not yet. So olu. They're oila. They do count, and they most certainly do count. So they do in fact count, and the tzibur is even yotze with them. It's more logical to say that what Rav is saying is when he thought mistakenly that they were the rams, and then he shechted them having in mind that they are in fact the sheep. Because after all, they are sheep, and they were shechted for the sake of sheep. He thought that they were rams, but that which are animals in its second year. So therefore, but the fact is, they are in fact sheep below a year old, and he did in fact have that in mind. So in other words, when Rav Abachana's Braisa said that he shechted them the Shem Elim, doesn't mean like we thought originally that he actually specified verbally that these are Elim. It means that he thought that they were Elim, but when he actually said it, he said that they're Kvasim. But if he thought that they were the rams, and he shechted them having in mind that they're rams, Lloyd, then Rav would not necessarily say that, says Rav Chisda. Because then, after all, Shalei L'shma. Akira b'tois havi akira, because even though it was a mistake that he uprooted, that he changed the designation of it, nevertheless, even doing that by mistake, says Rav Chisda, would actually be considered something significant, and therefore that it would prevent the korban from being effective. So therefore, so you'd be yotze the korban, but you're not. There's a kosher korban, but you're not yotze it. So therefore, sort of Chista says that the only case where Rav could say that it would actually be over, that it would actually count, would actually be where there was a mistake involved over here. So one way of looking at it is that Rav Chisda is just explaining what Rav is saying. On the other hand, there are Achronim who talk about that Rav Chisda is arguing with Rav, and Rav himself would not actually make a distinction about that. And in fact, the Rashash suggests that that's why we have the word oluv olu, that Rav means to say, no matter what, whether it was by mistake or whether it was on purpose, or whether he actually stated that he's shechting them as whims or not, either way, Rav would say that it's kosher, and Rav Chisda then is arguing with that. So that's one way of looking at it. On the other hand, Rabbi says, no, changing the designation by mistake is not considered an akira. When he just didn't realize, he thought that they were ailing, but really they're crossing. So Rabbi says that wouldn't prevent the korban from being valid at all. It is completely valid, and you even yotze with it. But the Gemara continues. Omar Rava. So Rava says, or it's actually supposed to be Rabbah on the side, because Rabbah himself, who just said this din, says, now actually, I myself, who just said this din, that Akira Batos, that making, that changing the designation by mistake is not considered a problem, I could actually bring a question on my own teaching based on a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Akoyinim shepiglu b'mikdash, koyinim who created pigle in the b'mikdash." So now the person's korban is possible, and he's going to have to bring another one. So let's talk about it from the point of view of dinei mominus. We can talk about it from the point of view of kodshim, that they're not allowed to do that, and they made the kodshim possible. Anybody who eats them is chayiv kodesh, etc. But there's also a financial angle to it, because now the other person is going to have, the owner of the korban is going to have to bring another one. In what cases are koyanim, is the koyan chayav to pay? So, mizvidin, if they did it b'mezid, chayovin, then they're chayav to pay. Implying, says Rabba, hashoyin p'torin, implying if they did it by mistake, then they'd be potter. Now the Gemara discusses over there what the reason is why to make that distinction. But in any case, the point is, the Mishnah does seem to be implying that distinction. The Tony Allah, and we learn a brice on it, nevertheless, pigle and pigle. Even when it was shogig, it is still pigle. It's just that they were shogig, and therefore we're not obligating them to pay the owner. And one point is, the Gemara points out over there that you want to pass to them b'shogig, because of that way it'll give them an incentive to tell the owner. Otherwise, if they're going to say, if even b'shogig will require them to pay, they may not have any incentive to tell him, and he's going to think that he was yotze, and he's going to eat the meat and be chayav for pickle. The other way of looking at it is that, on the contrary, we want to be mechayav them when they're mazed, so that they don't do this kind of thing in the future. Anyway. So, says Rabbah, hey, Chidomi, what do you mean? How could you have a case where it would be pigle, even though they're shogig? Even with the yod of the chatas, here we're talking about the koyan knew, for example, that this animal was a chatas, become a chashabal of shum shlomim, and he has in mind instead that it should be eaten during the time frame of a shlomim. Ush is an extra day, so now he's chayev because it's chutzos manoi. Well, then, hi, shogig, and then what do you mean? How can you call it shogig? And Mazid didn't have it, and that's amazing, because he knew that it was a chatas. Elalav shlomim hu. So elalav de kasavah shlomim hu. Evidently, we must be talking about that he thought that it was a shlomim. Become a chashabolah from a shlomim, and he thought to eat it during the time frame of a shlomim. But really, it was a chata. So if a tiny pigle and pigle, and the Mishnah is still saying that it's still a pigle. Alma. So we see from that akira b'tos havi akira, that even changing the designation b'tos is still considered changing it, and the carbon becomes posel or pigle depending on the circumstances. So we see, in other words, says Rabbah, here I'm saying that Akira Batos is not considered an Akira, and it doesn't affect the validity of the Korban, but based on the implication of that Mishnah, it seems pretty clear that it does. Amalei Abaya, so Abaya answers, La'olam diyoda t'chatasi. In fact, we could be talking about, after all, that he did know that it was a chatas. And he's thinking that he's going to eat it during the time frame of a Shlomim. You're going to say, in that case, isn't that mazid? Because the case is, but Oymer Mutter, he thinks that such a thing is allowed. In other words, classic shogig is that you don't know the circumstances. You didn't know that this thing was also. You didn't, whatever. Here he knew that you didn't know what this thing was. He thought that this was not chaylev, and it turns out to be chaylev. For example, as an example of shogig, he didn't realize that this that today is Shabbos, or that this Malacha is also whatever. Oimer Mutter means he thinks it's actually Mutter to do such a thing. So he knows the actual facts of it here. He knows this is a Chatas. He knows it's supposed to be eaten within time frame of a Chatas, but he doesn't know that there's anything wrong with Shechting and having in mind that it can be eaten a whole day more. So therefore that can be considered Shreging. But you're right, if in fact he truly didn't know about what this korban was, and he really thought that it was a shlomim, and shechted it l'shum shlomim, not necessarily is the Mishnah implying that it would be pigle because of that. So that Mishnah is not necessarily a contradiction on Rabba's statement. Okay, the Gemara says Mosiv Reb Zera. So Reb Zera says I have another contradiction on Rabba. A Braitzi says, Reb Shimon Omer, Kol Menachas Shemikmitzu Shaloi L'Shaman, all Menachas where the Kmitzah was taken Shaloi L'Shaman, Kshedus, the Kosher, we learned this at the beginning of the Masechta, V'olol L'Bailam L'Shum Choyva. Now, unlike the first Mishnah of our Masechta had said that they don't count for the owner's Choyva, and he has to bring another one, Reb Shimon says they do in fact count for the owner, and Reb Shimon says, the reason is, now I agree, says Reb Shimon, when it comes to animal korbanos, that if they're shechted, shaloi l'shma, that most korbanos are kosher, but the owner is not yotze, and only with a pesach and a chatas is it completely possible. The difference is, though, so why am I saying, says Reb Shimon, by mincha, it's completely kosher, and it even counts for the owner's obligation. Reb Shimon says, because menachas are not exactly like korbanos. There's a difference, namely, because as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, as we're going to learn later on in the next parak, you have a variety of different kinds of menachas that are fried or baked in different ways. So consider, for example, if he takes a minchas machmas, one that was fried in a shallow pan, which is harder, and he takes a koymet from it, l'shum marcheshes, having in mind that it's a minchas marcheshes, which is deep fried and softer, maser mechichen aleho, you can clearly see from the way it was made, shehi machvas, that it's a pan-fried mincha, because you can clearly see the consistency of them is much different. Similarly, said, continues Reb Shimon, chareva l'shum blola. Similarly, if he does the kmitza from a dry mincha, the minchas choyte, which doesn't have flour and oil, which doesn't have oil in levoina, l'shum blola, and he has in mind that this is a mincha that is mixed with oil. Again, maaseh mechichen aleho, you can clearly see that if not so, shehi chareva, because it's dry. So therefore, we can clearly see that his machshava is a false machshava. At the beginning of the Masechta, we had a long discussion about this whole point Tosfos points out. So we had in the Gemara over there several different explanations of Reb Shimon's opinion, but now Reb Zera is saying something that is saying a different point over here. About this matter of Akira, which we didn't bring up over there. Anyway, continues Reb Shimon, Alf Bezvachim and it came. With animal korbanos, it's not like that. Shchita achas l'kulon, kabbalah achas l'kulon, zrika achas l'kulon. They all have the same shchita, the same kabbalah, the same zrika. So it's not clearly noticeable that he's doing that he's saying something false, as opposed to, so we talked about over there, is it that when he says something blatantly false and it's more reason to make it kosher, is it less reason? We had a whole discussion about that over there at the beginning of the Masechta. But in any case, the point is that with animal korbanos, when you see him shechting, and he shechts a chatas, having in mind that it's an ola, or an ola is a shlomim, etc., there's no visible distinction in what he's doing as far as the shchita or the kabbalah, and even as far as the zrika, actually, the fact is, we learned in Zvachim, we do even one matana, then b'di'evad yoyotze, so it's not really a visible distinction. Now, Reb Zera says, "Hey, Chidomi, again, what's the scenario? Ilema de yod de machvasi. Are we talking about that the Kohen knows that this is a minchas machvas, that this was one fried in a shallow pan, and he's still doing the Kohen specifically having in mind that it's a marcheshes? Kima semachichin, my habi. What's the difference? Whether it's clearly false or not, homiyek or ka'okrilo. The fact is, he's changing the designation. So then in that case, it should be considered, it should be shaloi l'shma, and even Reb Shimon agrees that shaloi l'shma in certain cases ought to be possible. Evidently, we have to be talking about that he thought that it was a marcheshes, and he's doing the kmitza having in mind that's marcheshes. But he was making a mistake because it was actually a minchas machlas. Well, then, implying, and Reb Shimon is saying, only in that particular case are we going to say that we get away with it, and the mincha is still fully kosher, and the owner is yotze. Why? Because maaser mechichen aleha, because the form of this korban clearly, the form of this mincha clearly demonstrates that it was a minchas machlas, and that when he says malcheshes, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Haba alma, implying that in other cases where you don't have that maser mechichen aleha factor, akira b'toos savi akira. Apparently, even changing the designation b'toos would still be considered changing the designation and make it possible. So then, in that case, so and that would mean whether b'shoigig or not. Again, not like Rabba, who says that if it was done b'shoigig, then it wouldn't be considered an akira. Abaya answers Reb Zera, La'olam de yoda, the machmasi. In fact, we can be talking about where the Kohen knew that it's a machmas for Kometzola Shomal Cheshes. And he does the Kometzah having in mind that it's a Machashes. Udkahamet ki maser mechichen aleha mai havi. Now you're saying, well, in that case then, so who cares maser mechichen aleha? The fact is, if he knows that it's not a Machashes and he's changing the designation, then how could he do that? And how is Reb Shimon allowing it through? Fine, you can say Rava or Rabba Latame, you can say because Rabba is going according to his shita, the Amar Rabba, Machshavat Leminkur Apostle Rachmana, because back in that Sugya, at the beginning of the Masechta, Rabba had explained that when you have a Machshava, which is not noticeable, you can't look at it and say clearly, this is obviously a false Machshava, Apostle Rachmana, that would be the kind of thing that Hashem passes. So, as we said, we learned there, for example, when you shecht an Ova, having in mind that it's a Shlomim or any kind of change like that, it's not Masem. A person looking at it could conceivably think that he's actually shechting a shlomim, and therefore that would be, Rabbi had said, more reason to passel it, as opposed to when you clearly see that it's a false machshava and he's just hacking a chaynik, then you would say machshava de minkur ale pasar rachmana. When it's clearly obvious that it's false, then the Torah doesn't passel it, because then he's just hacking a chaynik. Well, then, in that case, Rabba, following his shitta, is going to explain that statement of Reb Shimon in that vein, and he's going to say that even though it's a machvas, and he knows that it's a machvas, and he's taking the koymet for shemal cheshes, the reason why maaser mechichen aleha makes a difference is precisely because maaser mechichen aleha shows that he's just hacking a chaynik. So therefore, there's no question from that Mishnah on Rabbah. There's no question from the previous Mishnah about a Kohenim Shepiglu Mikdash, because Abaya had explained that they were talking about Oymum Mutter, that he actually thinks it's Mutter to do such a thing. And therefore, we haven't shlugged up Rabbah. And we would say Akira Batos, like Havin Akira, that if he does Akira, if he changes the designation of the korban, but it was based on a mistake, whether a mistake that he misidentified what the animal or what the mincha is, or a mistake of oymer mutter, then we're saying that it would not in fact be pivotal or possible, as the case may be. Okay. The Mishnah says, let's talk about more korbanos that are not ma'akiv one another. So far, we began the perek by talking about with tzitzis, where the white and trelis strings are not ma'akiv one another. Then when it comes to korbanos and the minchas nesachim that go with them, that the korbanos are not ma'akiv the nesachim and vice versa. And even within the nesachim themselves, the flour and oil mixture is not ma'akiv the wine and vice versa. Then we got into the kivsiat tzeres, what's ma'akiv what, and that took us through the last couple of blocks dealing all about the kivsiat tzeres and the shtei lechem. So now let's continue with more cases where one korban is not ma'akiv another. Tzmidim ein ma'akiv es ha-musafin. The tzmidim are not ma'akiv the musaf, meaning if they didn't bring a korban tamid, and they brought the korban musaf first, it's not going to become posel. There are in many places in Shas where it talks about, and all Gemara is going to talk about as well, you're not supposed to bring anything before the Tumid Shal Shachar. It's supposed to be the morning Tumid is the first thing on the Mizdeach that day, and the Tumid Shal Ben Arbayim is the last thing, with certain rare exceptions. But nevertheless, we're going to see in the Gemara that nevertheless, our Mishnah is saying that if you did bring the Musafin and didn't bring the Tumidim, nevertheless, they still are kosher. The lime was suffering, the afghan is a tmidim, and vice versa, the musafim do not prevent the tmidim, meaning if they brought the tumid, and they hadn't yet brought the musaf, then it's still kosher b'di yedin. the Lamb was suffering Ma'akrid Zeh, and furthermore, the Musafim are not Ma'akrid one another. Before we talk about when you have the different animals within one Musaf. So you have, for example, and Rosh Chodesh, you have one pow, one ion, seven kvasim, as olas, and a sor as a hatas. So we said in the earlier mission that those are not ma'akev of one another. Here we're talking about on a day when multiple mustafim are supposed to be brought. For example, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, then one is not ma'akev of another. You bring whichever ones you bring whichever one you have. With the exception of we learned a few blocks ago, Sukkot is different. We're because the Gemara, the pasuk says on them Kamishpat or Kamishpatam, and on the first day it says Yiyu. So therefore, those you have to bring the whole thing, but everything else, you all other Musafim, you can be more flexible. Okay. The Mishnah continues. Lo yikrivu keves baboker. Suppose that the Kohenim did not bring the sheep as the Korban Tamid in the morning. No problem. They can still bring the one. They can still bring the one in the afternoon because, as we said, one is not active the other. Amr of Shimon Amasai, but Shimon says, when would that apply? Bizman shahoyu anusin, only if there was an onus that prevented them from bringing the original, that prevented them from bringing the morning one. Or they were shogigin and they thought that it had already been brought. Avalim hoyu mezidin, but Reb Shimon says if they were mezid, if they knew that the first one had not been brought yet, And they Dabka didn't bring it. Voloy Kruvel Kevaspa Boker, and did not bring the sheep in the morning. Then Loya Kruvel Ben Habayim, and the Chum penalized them. Those Kohenim themselves cannot bring the one Ben Habayim. Instead, other Kohenim have to bring it. So now, we know the way that they decided who's going to bring the korbanos. Anyway, is they would make a lottery. They would make a pie instead. Everybody stand in a circle and stick out their fingers, and the one in charge would go counting the fingers. So now the kohenim who failed to bring the one in the morning are going to be disqualified from joining in that pie. In fact, Revelva Soloveitchik says that actually the knas would not just be on the particular kohenim; it would be on all the kohenim of that base of. Because after all of them are equally responsible to see to it that it's brought. And if all of them decided, benazid, that we're not going to bring it, then we would penalize all of them and we would find a different base of to do the afternoon talmud, says Reb Shimon. The mission continues in a similar vein. Loik tiru k'todas baboker. Similarly, if they didn't bring k'todas in the morning, yak tiru ben habayim, they can still bring the k'todas in the evening. Because again, one is not ma'akev another. The Gemara is going to point out, we'll learn tomorrow about Hashem, that here Reb Shimon doesn't disagree, because there's no reason to penalize them. We know, the Gemara tells us in Yoma, that bringing the Tertus had the Segula to make a Koyan rich, so nobody's going to deliberately go and fail to do that, and then, therefore we don't have to make a Zera to cause them to do that. So, Omer Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon says, I do disagree on one detail, in a case like that, where they didn't bring the Torah in the morning, then instead they bring the entire mana in the afternoon. Namely, normally we have, as we say in morning davening, pras b'shachos or fast ben habayim. We take a mana of Torah every day, and we burn half of it in the morning and half of it in the evening. But here, Reb Shimon says, since you didn't bring the half mana in the morning, the pras in the morning, then therefore Reb Shimon says you're going to have to bring the entire thing. Tosfos later on points out that the difference is when it comes to the tamid, each separate sheep is considered a separate mitzvah, as opposed to the ketores, it's all considered one mitzvah to bring a mana every day. It's supposed to be half in the morning and half in the evening, and therefore Reb Shimon says in this case you would have to bring all of it together, as opposed to the the animals, where it's two, Tosfos points out, that's two different mitzvahs. In fact, the Keren Oda says that may itself be the machlokas. The Tanakhama would hold their two mitzvahs, and therefore just bring that the Tosfos is also two mitzvahs, whereas Reb Shimon would hold that it's also one, when Reb Shimon would hold that it's only one mitzvah. Okay. So Reb Shimon says, She'in mechanchenes mizvah hazahav el b'ketores hasamim, because you can dedicate the Mizbeach HaZahav and start using it only by bringing the Ketores and specifically only bringing on the side it says there's a Gisa Shel Ben Habayim, specifically the one of the afternoon. So therefore, according to Rashi, Reb Shimon is giving us a reason. Why am I saying that you should bring the entire Keteris when the entire mana of Keteris when you're doing it in the evening? Because you can be mechanech the mizbeach only with the Keteris Shaben Habayim. On the other hand, Tosfos disagrees and says that no, that fart is not specifically according to Reb Shimon. That would be more generally. Everybody agrees with that point that the mizbeach haktodas, in order to be mechanech to start using it, you have to bring the Keteris Shaben Habayim on it specifically, as we're going to learn from Psukim in the Gemara. And continues the Mishnah, like Mizbah Ha'Ola, similarly to Mizbah Ha'Ola, when you're starting to use it for the first time, what do you dedicate it with? El of the Tumah Shel Shachar, specifically by bringing the Tumah Shel Shachar. V'loyas HaShulchan, how do you dedicate a new Shulchan for use? El of the Lachan upon him, the Shabbos, only by putting the Lachan upon him on it, on Shabbos, as you're supposed to do. So you can't put anything else on it, and you can't put it on during the week. Meaning, in other words, the Velvet Brister explains, for example, later in the Masechta, we're going to talk about that if a person were to take a, if a Kohen were to take a koimetz of a mincha and place it on the Shulchan, but yet the Shulchan is Mekadesh, just like a Klishar is, but we're saying you can't dedicate a new Shulchan by doing that. You have to specifically put the Lachem upon him on it on Shabbos. V'loyas ha-menorah, and when it comes to the menorah, how are you mechanechet? El b'shiva no'yaseh ben ha-bayim, specifically by lighting the seven lamps of it, specifically in the evening. Now, the majority opinion of Rishonim is, in fact, that you light it only in the evening. You light it only once a day. During the morning, the Kohenim would prepare it, but only in the evening would they light it. The Rambam holds they lit it by day as well, but even according to him, our Mishnah is saying that you can be mechanech it only with the evening, the afternoon lighting.
Okay.
So the Gemara says, okay, let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. We said that the Tmidim and the Musafim are not ma'aktiv one another. So, Bomine Rabchir Ba'ovin Merab Chista. Tzibur She'en Lahan Tmidim U'musafim. Suppose that Tzibur does not have enough sheep for the Korban Tumid and the Korban Musaf. And fine, we said in the Mishnah they can bring only one of them, but the question is, which one? Eizim Mehen Kodim. Which one should take precedence and push off the other one? Well, the Gemara says, "Hey, Chidami, what's exactly the scenario?" Rav Chiya Alvin is asking. Do we mean that for today itself we don't have enough for the Tmidin and Musafim? So say for example it's Shabbos and we have two, we need two Kvasim for the Tumid and we need another two Kvasim for the Musaf of Shabbos and we don't have four Pshita Tmidin Adifi. Well, then there's no question. Obviously, then the Tmidim comes first to have a little Tadir Umakurdish because there's something that comes more often and that they're Makurdish. They have greater Kedusha. Namely, in other words, as we learned in Zvachim, we had a whole parak on that subject of which korbanas take precedence over which. We established that kol atodu mechaveri, anything that comes more often than something else goes first. See here, okay, Rashi gives the scenario. Let's say that today is Yom Tov. In any case, the point is that so it's more todu because the tomid is brought every day, whereas the musaf is brought only on Yom Tov. And it's also Makudosh in the sense, Rashi says two possibilities. First of all, if it weren't Yom Tov, there wouldn't be a Musaf. So the Musaf is coming because it's a holy day. But nevertheless, the Tumid would be considered, more Kodesh. So first of all, Rashi says two explanations. First of all, if it weren't for, there's a Musaf only because of Yom Tov, so the Musaf is Mekodesh, but the Talmud is also Mekodesh. And then, in addition, Rashi says the Talmud is Mekodesh because the Talmud is supposed to be offered first. Tosfos refers to what we learned about this in Zvachim, that for example, when you have a korban that's brought, even the regular tamid that's brought on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, still gets a greater degree of kedusha because the day itself is a holy day. So if you're talking about on Shabbos or on Yom Tov itself, of course the tamid is going to come before Musaf because of that, because it's Todir and it's Mekodesh. So no question that the Talmud will come first. Either because, again, it has greater kedusha, or just because the tamid is actually brought before the is always brought before is supposed to be brought before the musaf, and therefore that itself is considered to be a and that itself is considered to have greater kedusha. So then there'd be no room for the question. Rather, the question is, if we don't have enough sheet for tomorrow's Talmud and today's Musaf. So again, let's say, for example, it's Shabbos. You have two kvasim available for the Musafim, but now, if we bring them for the Musafim today, we won't have enough for the Talmud tomorrow. Now do we say that the Talmud takes precedence, which came Tadir, because it is more constant, because you bring them every day. Therefore, in that case, don't bring them for Musafim, leave them for the next day, so that we can bring them as the Talmud. Or maybe the Musafim come first, because they have the Kedusha of the day. Or if we say, according to the other explanation, that it means Mekodesh means comes first, well, today's Musaf comes before tomorrow's Talmud. And the Shagas Aliyah points out the question would be the other way around. What about where at least the point of Rashi's first explanation could be the other way around. On Friday, you have only two kvasim. Should we use them today for the Talmud because it's harder, or should we push them off tomorrow for the Musaf because of Mekodesh? So that's your Chiva Adam's question. You can answer it from our Mishnah. We said that the Tmidin are not ma'akiv the Musaf is not ma'akiv the Talmud, and they're not ma'akiv each other. Now, we have to figure out what is the scenario of the Mishnah. Hey, Chidami. Ilema de Islay, are we talking about he actually has enough animals, the Likdam, and the question is just which one goes first and says that, and he was saying that he could bring the Musaf before the Talmud? No, obviously not. For Tanya, we learn in the Braisa. How do we know you're not supposed to bring anything on the Mizbeach before the Talmud Shal Shachar? Therefore, the Pasuk says, you should arrange on the wood pile the Ola, meaning, in other words, the first thing that goes on there is the Ola of Talmud. And Rava says that when the Pasuk says it's the Ola, means Ola Rishona, means the first Ola of all the Korbanos of the day. So we see that it's not just that you have the option if you want to bring the Muslim first, you have to bring the Talmud first. Tosfos gets into over here into a very, very long discussion about this whole matter of where exactly we learn it from and different Gemaras that are all relevant to this as far as the order of precedence between Korbanos and how we darshan it. So in any case, it's a very, very long Tosfos. It starts on this Amud Mem Tes Amud Aleph and extends all the way until the top of Nun Amud Aleph. So when the Mishnah is saying Tmidin Ein Ma'akvinas and Musafim and vice versa, we obviously don't mean that you have your option that if you feel like it, you can bring the Musaf before the Talmud because you're not supposed to do that. Obviously, then the Mishnah must be talking about where you don't have enough animals for the Tmidin and the Musafim. Now, the Idigyume, now if you're talking about it's all on the same day, Amai, then why would we say that one is not the act of the other? Todur Mekodesh, Todur Odif. Didn't we say that when it's Todur versus Mekodesh, then the Todur takes precedence? As gears are without the word tadir, but still it's tadir umakodesh adif. The fact that it's a korban tamid, and we said that has greater kedusha, then that makes it take precedence. So evidently the Mishnah must be talking about where we're talking about exactly the case that we just asked about. You don't have enough animals for today's Musaf and tomorrow's Talmud, and then the Katani, and the Mishnah is saying, Ein ma'ak ben zeh, they're not ma'ak of one another, meaning you can do whichever one you want. You can bring them for today's Musaf if you want, or you can save them for tomorrow's Talmud if you want. Well, that would show that they're both equal, and that would answer the Kriya Ba'avin's question. It's not that you must do it one way or you must do it another way. Do whichever you want. Ezimahem Kodim, the answer would be, do whichever one you want first. So Abaya answers not necessarily. In fact, the Mishnah can be talking about really they do have enough animals for all the korbanos, the likdam, and the question is indeed what order to do them in. But you're asking me if there's any way not supposed to be anything before the Tamar Shoshacha. The answer is mitzvah almahu. That's only a mitzvah lachtchila. The Mishnah is talking about b'diavad that if he did the musafim before the tmidim, it's not going to be ma'akiv. It's not going to be. We're not going to say that those musafim are possible. But don't ask me over the fact that you're supposed to bring the Talmud first, because that's only what you're supposed to, not that it's going to passel it otherwise. So again, you have this very, very long Tosfos that deals with the ins and outs of that as far as when we say as all the various lemudim that we say that one that nothing is supposed to come before the Talmud Shal Shachar and nothing is supposed to come after the Talmud Shal Ben Arba'im. So Tosfos discusses why we have several different lemudim for it because we have to learn as far as the sprinkling of the blood and as far as the burning and then the various other things and it wouldn't be possible even if it's before the Talmud. Again, as Al-Gemara is saying, if you did bring it b'diavad, it would be kosher. And Tosfos goes into a long discussion with different places in Shas all about this. So in any case, Abaya says that you could actually say the Mishnah is not talking about the case of Rav Chiya Oven where there's not enough animals, but rather it's talking about where there are, and it's just that b'diavad you brought the Musa before the Talmud. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma. Fine, we'll try to bring a different proof to answer Rav Chiya Oven's question. Our Mishnah tells us in person Mishisha Tloim Hamavokorin the Lishkas Aploim. In the Lishkas Aploim, in the chamber in the Beis Hamikdash, it was one of that in the Beis Hamikdash. We'll learn eventually in Masechta Midas, Rosh Hashanah. You had one of the buildings in the Beis Hamikdash was called the Beis Hamoked. It was a big domed building with a fire inside for the Kohenim to warm themselves up. And in the corners of it, there were several different chambers. One of them was called Lishkas Atloyim, the chamber of the sheep, of the lambs. And there they would keep lambs for the Korbanos. And as the Gemara is going to go on to explain over here, you have to check each animal for 4 days before you shecht it, to check it that doesn't have any mumen. So in person, you can never have less than 6 sheep that have been checked for mumen, the lishkas atloyim, in this chamber of the sheep in the Mishnah. The reason why you need that many is enough to be able to supply for Shabbos and 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. In other words, What if Rosh Hashanah comes out on Sunday and Monday, and you have to have 2 tmidim every day? Usually, of course, Minat Torah, Rosh Hashanah is only 1 day, but you have the scenario where the Edim didn't come by Mincha, and then they have to consider that day Kodesh and the next day Kodesh as well. So therefore, even in the times when Beis Din was Makadosh Al-Pi Ariyah, and even in the Beis Mikdash itself, sometimes it could happen that there were 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara mentions in Rosh Hashanah that we never find that from the time of Ezra until the time of the Amoraim, we never find that, but nevertheless, it is possible. So let's consider again, Heikidomi, what's the scenario? Even in the Israel, we're talking about where you have enough sheep for all of these things, then what do you mean? It's not just you're considering just the Tumid on those 3 days, but Tumid and Musafim, Tuvahavu, when you consider the Musafim that are going to be on all those days, you have a lot more because you have 2 sheep you need for the Musaf of Shabbos and 7 sheep that you're going to need for the Musaf of, for the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. So okay, fine. You know, you're not going to be bringing the korbanos on both of them because Minat Torah only 1 day is Rosh Hashanah. But still, the point is, you're still going to need another 9 sheep besides the 6 that you're talking about for the tmidim of those days. Elolav deleslei. Evidently, therefore, the Mishnah must be talking about where you don't have enough. You don't have enough for tmidim and musafim. Oshma minat tmidim adifi. Well, then don't you see that the tmidim take precedence and we ignore the musafim and we say as long as you have enough for the tmidim for those 3 days, then you're good. So and Rashi points out that after all, Shabbos has a greater kedusha than Yom Tov than Rosh Hashanah, but nevertheless though. So in other words, there is the factor of Makudash over here, but, But Shabbos is more Kaddish than Yom Tov, and still that doesn't mean that we're going to bring them for Musafim. It means that we're going to bring them for the Tmidim every day and ignore the Musafim altogether. So therefore, so that would answer the question that in a case like that, you don't have enough animals, just bring them all for the Tmidim and don't worry about the Musafim. But the Gemara says, Loi, not necessarily, Lo'olam de'islay. In fact, the Mishnah can be talking about where he has enough for the Tmidim and Musafim. But Ha'chikamar, the Mishnah is just telling us, Ein posin mishish etloim, am lukorim lushkas etloim, abo yomim kodim shchita. The point is that the Mishnah wants to inform you, you always have to have enough sheep in lushkas etloim that have been checked for 4 days before the shchita. In other words, again, when it comes to the Korban Tomid, as I was going to explain, you have to check it 4 days before the Shechita, just like we find by the Pesach that they brought in Mitzrayim. And so now, since on Shabbos and on Rosh Hashanah, you can't buy new ones, then therefore we're saying that you need to have ones prepared ahead of time. So what you're going to do is, namely, Umani, so who would this Mishnah be like? Ben Bagbag. This would be according to the opinion of Ben Bagbag. The Tanya, Ben Bagbag, Omer, Minayim Tomid Chaton Bikur Abba Yonim Koinim Shechita. How do we know that you have to check the Tomid from Mumim for 4 days before the Shechita? Talmud Loma, therefore the Pasuk says about the Tomid, Tishmeru L'Hakruv Liva Moyadeh. It says you should guard the Tomid to bring it to me in its proper time. Now, by the Korban Pesach, you have a similar expression, that the Korban Pesach should be guarded by you for 4 days before you shecht it. Adabah, so you have until the 14th of Nisan, and then you shecht it. So in that case, in the Tzrayim, of course, there was the whole thing, they tied it to their beds, and the Tzrayim are curious, and they ask what you're doing, and they're telling them we're going to shecht your God, etc., etc. But nevertheless, Ben Bagbag says, it wasn't something unique to Pesach Mitzrayim. He learns Zera Shava Malahalam Tom Vikra Abo Yonim Koinim Shchita, just like where the Korban Pesach and had to be checked for Mumim for 4 days before Shchita. Afkan Tom Vikra Abo Yonim Koinim Shchita. The same way when it comes to the Talmud, it also has to be checked for 4 days before the Shchita. Whether we mean 4 days without the day of the Shchita, or whether we mean including it, that's this Mishnah is an Erchin, and Rashi brings over there that Yesh Meforshim, that the day of the Shchita itself counts as the fourth day, but Rashi says no, because you see over here, you need 10, 11, 12, 13, and then you shecht it on the 14th. So the point is, in other words, that when we know that Shabbos and then Rosh Hashanah is going to be on Sunday and possibly on Monday as well, we have to be proactive. We have to make sure we have enough sheep available for the two Tmidim of Shabbos and the four Tmidim that are going to be on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, because we're not going to be able to buy new ones on Yom Tov, and therefore we have to make sure that we have enough of them in that Lishkas Atloyim, which we're going to be checking them each one 4 days before it's checked it. But that's all the Mishnah is telling us, is it's not saying anything about the ones that we're going to be using for the Musaf. We can in fact be talking about, we do have enough for the Tmidin and the Musafim, but we're saying specifically with the Tomid, they have to be checked for 4 days ahead of time, as opposed to any of the ones we're going to use for the Musaf. Even Ben Bagbag doesn't hold that we need to check them in advance, so those we can get a hold of them on Yom Tov if necessary. We can't buy them to be sure, but we could make an arrangement with the dealer that we'll take it now and we'll pay after Yom Tov or whatever. So that's all the Mishnah is telling us, nothing about when you don't have enough for the Tmidin and the Musafim. So Amalei Ravina Ravashi. However, Ravina asked Ravashi, "Hani Shisha? What do you mean then? In that case, that you need six in Lushkas Atloim, Shiva Havu on the face of it, you need seven, because Da'ika Detzafet it's loss of the Shabbosa, because you're also going to need one for Tuesday morning." Namely, in other words, you're going to have enough on Erev Shabbos for the two Tmid on Erev Shabbos on Friday night going into Shabbos. You're going to have six over there, two for the Tomid, two for the Tmidim on Shabbos, two for the Tmidim on Sunday, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, two for Monday, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, but aren't you going to need one also for Tuesday morning? Because Monday night after Yom Tov is over, Where are you going to get tzloyim? Where are you going to get sheep? Where are you going to get sheep for for that purpose. In other words, because you bring it first thing in the morning. And in particular, also by night, again, you have to check it. It's going to be hard to find people to check it by night, Tosfos points out later on. Rashi has a different gusa over here. The question, a different gusa that Rashi has is that the Gemara is asking, what about Sunday morning? Namely, in other words, so fine, let's say, for example, so the one that you're going to need for the evening, and the one you're going to need for Monday and Tuesday, then fine, on Sunday you go and find them 4 days in advance. But let's say Shabbos, you're not going to be able to. So what we mean is, it actually says, the Gemara is now shifting to, let's say, Rosh Hashanah is Thursday and Friday. So let's say Rosh Hashanah is Thursday and Friday, same thing. Wednesday night going into Rosh Hashanah, you're going to need six to cover Thursday, possibly Friday if there ends up being 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and Shabbos. But again, the question is, you're going to need one for Sunday morning as well, because Motzei Shabbos, you're not going to be able to find one to buy, or if you do, you're not going to be able to find one. You're not going to be able to find somebody to do the bikur, to do the checking of it. So therefore, you should really need seven in the Lushkas HaFloy, not only six. Well, the Gemara asks, "Vali Taimeh." Well, according to your Svara, that you're even asking the question, Tzmanya Abi, you should really consider. It's really eight. Doika de Panya de Mali Shabbosa, because you're going to also need one for Friday afternoon. Because again, when do they check the animals or the pastures in the middle of the day? They're not going to be doing it later in the afternoon. So therefore, you should need to have eight. You would have to have one for Friday afternoon, two for Shabbos, two for Sunday, two for Monday. And one for Tuesday morning, which is total eight. Well, according to Rashi's other scenario, another girsa, you would need Wednesday afternoon, two for Thursday, two for Friday, two for Shabbos, and one for Sunday morning. Okay, so the Gemara says, Holy Kasha, that's not such a big question. The Labasa da Akruv Kama, because in fact, we can be talking about after he was Makru the Tomacher Ben Arbaim. Then we're saying that at that point, there's going to be seven left. You're right, earlier in the day, there might have been eight, and now you were Makru of one of them, and now there's seven left. Well, the Gemara asks, "Kol makom shiva abu." Well, still that's seven, not six. So the answer is Ela Tana ba'al makoi. Fine, the Tana is not specifically talking about that. He doesn't mean that davka right before Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah, when the two of them are back to back, that you need to have six sheep. Then he's saying in general, throughout the year, you always have to have six sheep in there. Meaning, in other words, so throughout the year, in other words, you're going to have that every day. So Rashi says, let's say, for example, we start out, let's say, for example, with 12 sheep in there. Then with all of which have been checked for at least 4 days. You take two of them on Sunday, and you check them, and then you take two, then you bring in two more, and you check them and put them in. On Monday, you take another two, and then you buy another two, and so forth, and you keep on rotating like this. And therefore, what it means is that any time you're always going to have six of the original, you're always going to have six of the ones that have been there for a few days. Because again, in other words, the idea is you always have to have, since every day you're checking two of them and replacing them with then replacing them with two other ones. So therefore, so Rashi says that the reason is just the Chachamim wanted to make a fixed amount in case it happens that they can't find sheep one day, at least they'll have in reserve enough that have been checked for 4 days. So therefore, so it's not enough to just have the minimum amount. Rashi explains, so every day you're going to have, when you say six, means six that are ready to be offered on today, but you have 12 total, is how Rashi learns. On the other hand, in Erchin, Rashi learns differently, and it just means, in other words, that once you take out two for today's, and you have six left in there, two that have been checked for 3 days, and two that have been checked for 2 days, and two that have been checked for 1 day, and those are going to be for the following subsequent days. Okay, so the point is, in other words, the Tana is just telling us like that. Well, Mike, Dela Shabbos, Shnei Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah. So what does the Tana mean when he mentions Shabbos and the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? He doesn't mean it's actually needed for that. He just means Simona Ba'alma. He's giving us Simon. This way, it's a handy way of remembering how many do you need is enough to realize, is enough for 3 days of Tzmidim back to back. So like this, in other words, it helps you remember the number six. And the Gemara says Deka Nami. In fact, we can show the diuk from that. We can show that that's in fact what the Mishnah means, because the Mishnah says Kedei LaShabbos. It says enough for Shabbos and the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. But like Katani, LaShabbos or LaShnei, in terms of Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't say you need them because of the Korbanos of Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah. which would imply that you have to have them there in reserve, because you can't get new ones on, and you can't examine them on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shmamina, so therefore that shows that, yes, that's what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah is just telling us that the number that you have to have there, and using Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah as a simon for it, but no more than that. So therefore we can't prove anything from that Mishnah about whether, in fact, if you only have enough for the Tmidim, or only enough for the, or then should you bring them for the Tmidim, or should you use them for the Musafim, or should you save them for tomorrow's Tmidim, because the Mishnah is not really addressing that kind of case at all. It's just saying that you need, because when it comes to the Tomid, according to Ben Bagbag, you have to pre-check the animals 4 days in advance, so therefore you want to make sure that there are enough animals over there, and you're just using this as a simon to know how many there are, and to know how many days you need to check them. So the Rambam ends up paskening that, in fact, you could do whatever you want if you, in that case, where you have only enough for today's Musafim or tomorrow's Tmidim, but not both, then the Rambam paskens, do whatever you want. You could bring them for today's Musafim, or you could save them for tomorrow's Tmidim. Okay.